Well, doxa today finds us halfway through Romans chapter 8. The halfway mark begins in Romans 8, 17 and to verse 27. And it begins with the introduction of the words glory and suffering. The two go together. Previous to verse 17, we were in the glorious realm of the Holy Spirit. And of course, in Romans 8, we remain in the glorious realm of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Paul writes, has liberated us from the bondage of the law. Verse 2. Empowered us to fulfill the just requirements of the law. Verse 4. We now live according to what the Spirit desires, and we set our minds on His desires. Verse 5. The Spirit lives in us. Verse 9. It gives life to our spirits. Verse 10. One day we'll give life to our mortal bodies. Verse 11. His indwelling helps us to live not for self, but for others and for the Lord Jesus. Verse 12. His power enables us to put to death the fleshly lusts. Verse 13. He leads His dear children along. Verse 14. He bears witness to our spirit that we are God's children. Verse 15. And the Holy Spirit helps us to recognize our Heavenly Father and cry as God's true children, Abba, Father. Verse 15. This is life in the Spirit, or a life that is being sanctified in the Spirit. You know, so all of those things are found in the first 16 verses of Romans chapter 8. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is to be worshipped, He is to be loved, He is to be adored, and He is to be called upon for help and aid, understanding. It is He who regenerates us, it is He who inspired the Word, and it is He who sanctifies us with His indwelling. Our bodies now have become, as we learned, the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, that's the first half of Romans chapter 8. There's so much good in this chapter that I'm a little embarrassed to preach on it because I do not feel that I go into the depths that it deserves. But you go there and wait around. And then after you've waited around, go a little deeper. And after you've gone a little deeper, go a little deeper until it passes right over your head. That's how Ezekiel did it when he went into the river from the ankles to the knees, and then till he had to swim. Now, Romans chapter 8 begins, as we have seen, with no condemnation. And we rejoice in that to those who are in Christ Jesus, of course. And it ends with no separation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we give thanks to God for that. So this wonderful chapter reminds us that those who are in Christ cannot be lost again, but He will bring them home to His glory. Well, we come to verses 17 and 27, and I'm going to be preaching on it again this evening as we continue to talk about the glory of God and the glory that is to come. We come to the pathmata and doxa. Pathmata and doxa. Two Greek words, pathos. We get the word pathos from pathmata and doxa, meaning suffering, and even though it seems strange, linked with glory. Suffering and glory. Pathmata and doxa. And here Paul raises the theme of suffering. Now, as I shall share with you, I am not much into suffering if I can help it. I don't go out of my way to suffer. And I'm pretty pathetic, actually. My wife will tell you that when it comes to suffering. A little headache brings me to the medicine cabinet where I take the required aspirin, and pretty soon all is cleared up. I recognize that some suffer much more physically, but here in the scriptures, we're reminded that suffering, if you have never been reminded before, is to be a part of a believer's life for reasons I'll draw out at this time. In verse 17, we read some really heady stuff. You notice that? The Apostle Paul says, we are heirs, heirs of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. In other words, whatever is Christ is ours in Christ. And we can imagine that everything belongs to Christ. He created it, and he created it for his glory. This is all good stuff. I like the idea that I'm an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. We have this inheritance, this marvelous thing, this greater, the inheritance, if you like, the more anxious we are to get our hands on it. It cannot come soon enough. And in the Spirit of God and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the greatest possible inheritance in regard to our future. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. It doesn't get better than that. It cannot get better than that. That is the superlative best. We may have no earthly inheritance. Some of you sitting here say, well, I have no earthly inheritance. There's no rich uncle who's going to pass away and give me his wealth. But in Jesus Christ, we have a heavenly one. An inheritance that does not rust. It does not fade away. It is not diminished with the using of it. It is an inheritance that cannot be lost and cannot be spoiled. It's an inheritance, if you like, that makes Bill Gates, the computer man, and his money a pauper's penny. I can say on the Word of God, we can hardly wait to enter into the fullness of our heavenly inheritance in Christ Jesus. We should always hold it before us. We should always keep our eye on it, focused, that in this life, with all of its difficulties, and all of its problems, as it were, that we rise above the mundane and the things of this world and look forward to that glorious inheritance. That's what we have in Christ. That's what you have in Christ. If you are a brother with me in the Lord. But in every will there is the codicil, if you like. Sometimes the will says something like this, that you inherit the property of 21, you inherit the property of such and such and such. Well, we see we are co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, that we may also share in his glory. If indeed we share in his sufferings, and you say, wait a minute, is that what I signed on for? You know, sometimes preachers make it so that once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, all is well, all will go well, and you'll be successful, and so on and so forth. If we share in his sufferings, the Apostle Paul says, then we will also share in his glory. Doxa. Pathmata and doxa. Now, I love to hear about the glory part. I don't know about you. That's good stuff. And most most people love to hear about heaven, and they think, oh, heaven's going to be a great place. And apparently in some circles, everybody automatically goes there when they die. But we don't believe that. We go there if we put our faith and trust in Christ, if we repented of our sins, if we acknowledge that we have no good thing in ourselves and our dependency is entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible teaches that before the crown, there comes a cross. That was true of Jesus. That's true of us. It's interesting that in the scriptures, the Bible tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect, what did he learn? He learned obedience. And how did he learn it? Through suffering. Wow. Our example, the primary example that ought to be in our life, learned obedience through suffering. There's a song that dates me by 100 years, I guess. Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. I don't know how that works. But glory and suffering are married. They belong together. You can't have one without the other. It's an insoluble union while we live in this present age. In Mark chapter 4, you have the parable of the sower, don't you? I'll not go through all the seeds and I'll not go through all of the soils, but there are four different kinds of receptions. And if you look at the second soil, it received the seed like all the other soils, but it received the seed with great joy, with great expectation. They, as it were, embraced it immediately. But the Bible tells us that there was no depth to the soil. There was a rocky ledge underneath. It looked good from the outside, but as the roots went down, it could not find any depth in order to draw the moisture into the plant. And Jesus said when the sun came up, well, the plant died, shriveled. There is no moisture. And he explained the parable to us like this. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fell away. Oh, they received the glory. They received, as they looked into the future, wow, I like that. I like that end. But they didn't receive the path to that end. As soon as persecution came, as soon as someone insulted them, as soon as someone laughed at them, they said, whoa, I can't take that. They forgot the glory because they didn't want to suffer. We can love the glory, but there's discomfort, and it's worth it. You see, before the doxa comes the crown of thorns. First, you must share in Christ's suffering. There's no ands, ifs, or buts in the scripture. Maybe. No. We share in Christ's suffering. Such is the nature of the gospel in a fallen world. The gospel that exposes the darkness of men's souls and for that reason is hated. Gospel men, gospel women, gospel boys, gospel girls will be persecuted for the gospel's sake. There's no escaping it. I might try to duck it from time to time, but there's no escaping it. The way to heaven is, as Amazing Grace describes it, full of toil and snares. Read Christian history. Pure Christianity, that is a tale of blood, sweat, tears. See the suffering of the saints in dungeons, chains, fire, sword, vilification, economic hardship, betrayal, torture, beheading, and it still goes on today. It's not something in the past. It's not something that, like we had a garment, you can set it aside, say it belongs to that age. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, take up the cross. Hebrews 11, 37 and 38, they were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They were despised by the world, but the world wasn't worthy of them. Jesus drives a sword even between husband and wife, believing and the unbeliever, parents and children. So wives leave their unbelieving husbands, or the believing husbands leave. Sorry, it's got to be the other way. They leave because one has turned to Jesus. Children betray their parents. Jesus told us that. Because one is loyal to Christ. And then you see, there's all sorts of other things. Like, there's inner doubts. I would assume everybody has had a doubt. We confess unbelief, a lack of trusting our God. There's this busy task of putting to death sin. The spiritual struggles that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7. Then there's that host, the devil and his unholy band. You see, and all of these things, there's the temptations, and then there's that stumble that we took. And even God has his discipline and uses his rod to correct us. And sometimes that's hard and difficult to accept. Now, you might be here this morning and say, preacher, I have no idea what you're talking about. I hope you do, because if you have no idea what I'm talking about, you don't have any idea what the Bible is teaching then. Somebody has misled you. You might say, preacher, I haven't experienced any of these things. Why, I walk a path of strewn with rose petals, and people really like me, and people praise me, and people speak well of me, and I'm loved wherever I go. Did you ever hear the words of Jesus when he said, beware when men speak well of you? I mean, if that's all they do, beware. You might say, preacher, I know nothing but glory. I pour scorn on this suffering thing that you're talking about. No, I go to one of those great churches, and in one of those great churches, they tell me of prosperity, and they tell me of wealth, and they tell me of health. Oh, that's where I go. Well, friend, let me warn you one last time. No suffering, no heaven. No cross, no crown. If Jesus said they hated me, they will hate you. And if they crucify Jesus, this world will crucify you. And the reason they do not, maybe we do not stand apart. Maybe we are not separate. Maybe we're not different. Maybe we're not odd to the eyes of the world. Maybe we blend in like camouflage with our surroundings, unheard, unseen, unnoticed. If we share in his sufferings, we'll have doxa. If you want the crown, pick up the cross and follow Jesus. If 17, in 17, we have the two words together, if, suffer, glory. Verse 18, we have two ages or aeons, the present and the future. I'll get too far this morning, but I consider Paul writes that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us or to us. Now, you think of that for a moment. Here in the midst of your suffering is a word of encouragement for that poor, suffering, lonely outcast called the saint. Some of you come from countries where this kind of suffering is more noticeable. It's more blatant. Here it is often more subtle. In terms of what my wife read to me the other day, that there were a Christian family who would like to adopt some children. And of course, they cannot adopt children because of their Christian faith. The Christian faith stands up against abortion. The Christian faith stands up against same-sex marriage. And so you can't train these children the way we want them trained. And so they suffer a loss. They suffer sadly. They suffer sorrowfully. I admit that suffering is not a walk in the park. Who am I to talk about suffering after all? We're not Stoics. We're flesh and blood. If you prick us, we bleed. We don't like to be ground like wheat in the mills of the gods who grind exceedingly small. Paul brings out the balance of this life, though, and we're going to share the balance for a moment. Here on the one side, if you like, is life, and here on the other side is eternity. And he says, okay, which side wins? The weight contest, all right? And so he goes and gives on the scale, if you like, all that the world has to offer in suffering. And then goes and he carries doxa, and he can hardly lift it, and he weighs it the other side, whoops, just like that. For a moment, this scale, winning the case, the world, whoa! But as soon as you put doxa on, there's nothing to compare. Lays it on the other side of the balance. No comparison, he says. No comparison. He says it's not even worth comparing. He dismisses it. He dismisses it. It's hard sometimes to grasp that, isn't it? But he dismisses it. You're in church here this morning, well, you're not exactly seeing doxa, are you? But the fact is, he dismisses it. This present age is as light as a feather. It's passing. I don't know if you watch baseball. Maybe you like to watch the World Series, the only baseball you watch all year, and then someone's going to win the World Series, and there's going to be cheering, and there's going to be shouting, and there's going to be cities parading in the street. Next year, it's forgotten. Just a feather. I agree that suffering is not pleasant. I don't go out and seek it myself. I don't go out and seek martyrdom. But I hope that if martyrdom came, I'd be ready to suffer for it. I agree that pain and long nights can make you broken. And I agree, the loss of a loved one and the destruction of your home or business or exile, whatever it can be, is devastating. But compared to glory, that's the point. The glory that is to come in Jesus Christ, it doesn't even register on the scale of things. It is not that our God is disinterested about your suffering. It is not that our God is not tender towards us. It's not that he's not a shepherd. It is not that he doesn't at times intervene. But the point is, when you and I suffer for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, my dear friends, it's not to be compared with the glory. There was a man in the Old Testament, and that it was weighed in the balance, mean, tickle, written by hand on the wall, and Belshazzar saw it. And he called Daniel, "Daniel, can you interpret this?" "Yes, you've been weighed in the balance, Belshazzar, and you've been found wanting." "What do you mean I've been weighed in the balance? I'm weighty. I'm the king. I have an empire. I have armies." "Oh no, Belshazzar, tonight your life is required. You're a non-entity, Belshazzar. You're just a man. And you'll stand naked before God. Then where's all the pomp and where's all the glory? Mere whiff of smoke, gone in the light of eternity, as in this thought. And here is the thought. Suppose I put you on the scale, and all the pain and all the grief and all the tears and all the sorrow and all the terror and all the anguish and all the hurt was laid upon you. All of it. And you find yourself weighted down. And then I take the doxa and I put it on the other side of the scale. It's not worth comparing. It's not worth comparing. Brothers and sisters, this should encourage us to keep our eye on the glory that is to come. I don't think in the Christian church we talk enough about heaven. We don't talk enough about the glory. We don't talk enough about what is set before us in the eternal purposes of God. I take the glory that is yours if you hold fast. Again, the scale tips on the side of doxa. Well, maybe you don't like pain. I don't like pain. I was thinking, what if we put on the other side pleasure? Okay? There's value to suffering, by the way. Solzhenitsyn said he thanked God for his jail time. Bunyan said, "I thank God for my jail time." There's sometimes more to be learned in the house of mourning than in the house of laughter. But suppose I put you on the scale and I give you all the pleasures known to mankind and all of man's pleasures, and I make you like King Solomon, and we apply the same standard as Solomon applied, Ecclesiastes 2, 10 and 11, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "I denied myself nothing." Can you imagine that? Here's a man who could have anything he wanted. Like at 12 o'clock midnight, he could call a servant and have a bologna sandwich. You try that with your wife. "I refused," he said, "my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work. And this was my reward for all my labor. And yet," he says, "when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I toiled to achieve, everything was hunky-dory." No, meaningless. It was a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained that is gained under the sun. He put it on the scale. He put it all there, all the pleasures, everything he wanted. And then he weighed eternity in the light of it. And he says, "Meaningless, vanity, wind. I remember so well in one Sunday afternoon, we were out at my father's cottage. I was just a young teenager, and there were two other cottagers there, and one cottager had to use the path to get through, but the path that led you through was on this man's cottage, and this man came up and he berated them. You can't go through my... They're all dead now. They're all dust now. What does it matter now? Nothing! What fools we are. Put it on the scale. Stand that side of the scale. How much does it weigh? How much does wind weigh, actually? Then go on the other balance. Stand with Jesus. Oh, what do you have? What do you have? You have glory. You're an heir. You're an heir with Jesus. Listen, you have the truth. You have righteousness. You have meaning in life. You have joy. You have peace. You have holiness. You have forgiveness. You have doxa. That is glory. Doxa means weight, heft, substance, eternal weight. This world is light as a feather. The philosophies of mankind are like the wind in comparison to standing on the scale with Jesus, who outweighs everything. Brothers and sisters, John Stott says in this commentary of his, and he's a weighty scholar indeed, he has doxa. He says, moreover, the sufferings include not only the opposition of the world, but all our human frailty as well, both physical and moral, which is due to our provisional half-saved condition. You see, we have the now intruding, the not yet now intruding on the now. We're enjoying some things, looking through a glass darkly, half-saved condition. There's yet more to come. He says the glory, however, is the unutterable splendor of God. Eternal, immortal, incorruptible. One day it will be revealed. This end-time disclosure will be made to us because we will see it in one version. In us, in another version, because we will share in it, it will also be in store for us in another version. That's what he says. Although the precise nature of what we will be has not yet been made known, it will be. Because we see through a glass darkly, don't we? Or as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it was Paul, was caught up to the third heaven. In the body or out of the body, I could not say. Only God knows. He was caught up into paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that a man is not permitted to tell. Couldn't tell if he wanted to tell. He doesn't have words to tell it, brothers and sisters. The apostle Paul was caught up into paradise. But he says, I can't tell you the experience. Don't you wish that he could? Well, you don't need it. You got your Bible. You got your Bible. God wants you to know it. He wants you to wait for it. But here is the point. It's glory, unutterable glory. I was just wondering here this morning, in the few minutes I have remaining, but I just want to know, is there anyone here this morning who's ready to give up? Christian life, this is too hard. or you're discouraged, or you're sad, or it didn't work out the way you thought it should work out. Your plans didn't come to fruition the way you thought. You prayed about it, and you asked God about it, but it just didn't come to fruition, and your life took a sharp turn in another direction, and you're hurting, and you're crushed, and you're lonely, and you can't bear it anymore, and you can't go on, and you're not going to go on. You're going to take off that helmet of salvation because, well, it has become too heavy for you. You're going to take off that breastplate of righteousness because it's too confining to you. You're going to take off that belt of truth, as it were, because it's too tight. You're going to surrender your sword to the enemy and throw away that shield of faith that prevents the fiery darts. Do I have anyone like that here this morning? Maybe someone here came this morning and said, I've had it. When I leave this place, I'm done with it. God doesn't do or answer the prayers the way I want them answered. You can't go on. You've stood for a while, but the Apostle Paul's appeal no longer resonates with you. Having done all, stand. And again I say, having done all, stand. Brothers and sisters, I plead with you, don't give up. Don't quit. There is no alternative. You don't have another alternative. There is no glory on the other side, only despair and darkness and satanic cruelty and unutterable torment. Don't give up. On God's side, it's doxy. Yes, it comes with suffering in this life. But you've only begun to taste the glory. And if this salvation is glory, and it is, how much more the glory of eternity with God through you, in you. Brothers, a sister, whoever you are, only a few more miles, only a few more miles, and you'll soon be there. You know something? In November, I turn 78. Wow! Am I going to quit now? Am I going to pack it in now? Not in your life. I'm closer than the day I believed. We're all like that, aren't we? You'll enter the promised land. You'll join the saints in doxa. You'll see and you'll hear things that have no match on earth. I ask you, run the race. Now is not the time to quit. Now is the time to pick it up. Now is the time to wake up. To pick up that shield and sword and put the helmet of salvation and fight the good fight and run the race that you might gain the crown. Talk to yourself. Am I not a soldier of the cross? Will I be ashamed of him who was put to shame for my sins and for my iniquity and was crucified in my stead? Talk to yourself. Talk to God. Will you give up because of some temporary, passing, fleeting moment? So that when you're in heaven, you'll look back upon it and you will say to yourself, I should have suffered more for the cause of Christ. I'm sorry I didn't speak up. I'm sorry I didn't stand up. That's what you'll say in heaven. It's time to pick it up, friends. It's time to pick it up. What can I do for you, Jesus? How can I live for you? How can I love you? How can I serve you? How can I tell others about you? Oh, they're going to laugh. Let them laugh. You got glory on your side. Well, last week, my brother and I visited my brother with my wife. He's going back to Florida. His wife, Carol. They're on the Rideau River. He has a beautiful cottage. You wouldn't call it a cottage. 4 bathrooms. Everything is white. Everything is beautiful marble floors. There's gorgeous place settings. I think the plates are gold. There's 4 TV sets. What man wouldn't like that? Overlooking the waters. Beautiful sunsets. It's so clean that the bugs have to wipe their feet when they come in. Antiseptic. God has blessed my brother materially. He takes all the credit, of course. I'm thankful for him. But he said hurtful things to me. Hurtful things. I've redoubled praying for him because they were so hurtful, I feared for him. I thought to myself, is there no fear of God? They told me. They said, next year it's going to be a big renovation program or whatever. We're building a 3-car garage. Have you read that parable? Or is it a parable in the scripture? Yeah, man, not a lot of grain. And he says, where am I going to put? I'll build bigger barns. Oh, yeah. Listen, but in comparison to what I have in Jesus, you know it and I know it. There's no comparison. There's no comparison. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. In that sweet land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder, I'll never more wander, but walk on streets of gold. You can't quit. You can't. And if you haven't started, now's the time to get started. There's a narrow gate, narrow path. Get on it. Press forward. Plead with God that he'd have mercy upon your soul. And keep on pleading until you experience the mercy of the saving power of Jesus Christ and the blood that cleanses from all our iniquity. Just over in glory land, I'm on my way to mansions fair. Just over in the glory land, there to sing God's praises and his glory share. Just over in glory land. What a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see just over in glory land, and with kindred saved there forever be, just over in glory land. With a blood washed throng I will shout and sing just over in glory land. Glad hosannas to Christ, the Lord and King, just over in glory land. Just over. Oh, Moses going through the wilderness, never passed over Jordan. He went to glory land. Caleb and Joshua and the rest were left behind. They quit. They should have stepped it up. Glad hosannas to Christ. There's no comparison, Paul said. There is no comparison between this age and the age to come. You don't want to miss glory land. You don't want to miss glory land. Mansions in heaven make my brother's castle look like a hovel, I fear. I fear for him. I don't even care about the mansions in heaven. As long as Jesus is there. Listen, I've known people who are not living in castles. Isn't this something? There's the queen, this wonderful queen. Boy, her family has problems. Wonder, she's queen. You wouldn't think she has problems. No, her family has problems. Like everybody else on the face of the earth. But oh, to be in glory land. But I've known people who don't live in castles. John Bunyan, 12 years in the dungeon. Other Christians in the dungeon in chains. But to them it was glory because Jesus was there. Rembrandt, in his cell in communist Romania, I think it was, or some other country. And there, almost naked, almost freezing, watching the moon outside of his prison bars. And what's he doing? He's dancing. He's giving glory. Because he says, the glory filled my dungeon. It filled my jail site. He was better off with Jesus than the guards who could guard him and could go home at night. Brothers and sisters, there's a mansion. That's just the confetti. Jesus is what it's all about. If you've got Jesus, you got everything. I don't have an inheritance in this world. Brothers and sisters, you have an inheritance. If you suffer, you have glory. You don't want to go to that place where everyone hates everyone and God too. Where the shriek of demons and torture that knows no end, to hate God and be unrepentant for eternity, and see from your position the cool breezes of heaven and the happy praises of the saints, where one drop of water would be like Niagara Falls to you. Listen to me. You and I are without excuse. You've heard the gospel long enough. Repent, fall on your knees at the throne, weep. Weep for your rebellion. Plead with Jesus. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And don't settle for anything in this life or whatever people say to you or whatever your family says to you. Jesus first. Jesus only. Jesus is the Redeemer. Jesus is the Savior. He's the doxa. He's the glory. If you got Jesus this morning, you've got it all. And if you don't have Jesus this morning, you've got nothing. I don't care how rich you are and how big your bank account. My brother has nothing. Nothing. And I went home and I'm going to continue to plead with God to break my brother down, that he too might find glory. Almighty and gracious God, Heavenly Father, for your word we give you thanks. What fools men are, what fools we are, if we don't lay hold of Jesus Christ, if we don't wrap our arms around that cross, and we say to ourselves, nothing in heaven, nothing in hell, nothing on earth will unwrap my arms. I will cling to him who was despised. I will cling to him who suffered so. I will cling to him as my only hope, as true glory. Oh, Lord, is there someone here today thinking they should quit? May they, Lord, by your Spirit, awaken themselves. Is there someone here who says, oh, this glory sounds fine? Then, oh Lord, we pray that they might call upon your name and join the suffering saints, because the day is coming. The hour is arriving. Lord, when you're returning, the sky splits and the trumpet sounds and the archangels shout. Where will you be then? in glory or eternal suffering, world without end. We want to see souls saved, Lord. Spirit of God, work your grace. Amen.